Good morning. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the congregation said together, Amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Well, I hope you've had a good week this past week. There's always new challenges with each new week as we face each one. My prayer is that we'll encourage you today as we begin on this first day of the week to prepare ourselves to serve our Lord and meet the challenges that are placed in front of us, and that we can represent Him out here in our community. I want to do so by just reminding you of four little quick things. This is a little mini sermon before the sermon, Jim. But I want to remind you that the Bible is the book. You have it in your possession. Whatever it is that you have memorized or have learned, use it. People need to hear it in our world. The Bible is the book, and you've got it. A lot of places on this earth are not able and not privileged to have the Bible like we do. And I want to remind you that because you are the people of God, that you and I, we are the people. The Bible's the book, and we're the people, Donald, to get the job done. And we got an upcoming campaign, and I hope you'll get excited about it, pray about it, and think about the people that you can influence. And I want you to know that this is the place. The Bible's the book, we're the people, and this is the place where we gather together and we worship our God and we encourage one another to do good things in our community. If we can't get that here, where are you going to get it? You're not going to get it out here in the world. You're going to get it when you're here with your brothers and your sisters, and I want to encourage you to let you know that now is the time. I know that throughout all of biblical history, that many a prophet was sent out in times that were as dangerous or as ludicrous and whatever their thinking was about who God is and etc. They had those days too, and God saw them through. Can we get an amen? So let's remember that we have a great opportunity each and every day that God allows us to go out here in the world and try to influence people for Him. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about a subject, I would rarely probably admit something. Surrender is the title of the lesson. Now, go look in your concordance for that word. You will not find it in the Bible. To my knowledge, the word surrender is nowhere in there. Okay? I'm not asking you to believe something's not in the Bible, but I'm going to say to you, I hope that when you leave today that you'll see that the concept of surrender, especially the one I'm talking about, is certainly found there. In Matthew chapter 16, we have these words for us. From that time, now the time he's talking about is, you remember when the disciples come together and Jesus is, they were sent out on this great commission, on this limited commission we call, where he sent his disciples out and they went out preaching, and he wanted to know, Donald, what are people saying about me? And we had that great response from the Apostle Peter, who said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus makes some pronouncements to them and encouragements about what is about to come. And then it says in verse 21, this is the part of the chapter we don't preach maybe as often, but here we go. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. Peter took him aside and he began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And we can answer that question really simply. There's a couple of them there. Number one, it's not going to profit a man anything to forfeit his soul, right? We all know that is the truth. And that there's really nothing that man could give in exchange for his soul or to help himself to be in the right relationship with God. That's why Jesus had to come. And yet this whole idea of us dying to ourselves and picking up our cross and following after Him is our great challenge each and every day as we go out here into our world. Well, surrender. It's been 74 years since the great day of surrender took place on board the mighty battleship, the USS Missouri. Now, I've got a few pictures of that day. That's a picture there, of course, of Mighty Mo. Interestingly enough, that was the largest battleship ever produced, and it never saw any real action in World War II. It was commissioned and set afloat and given the manpower and so forth just a few months before the treaty with Japan would be signed, what we know as or call the surrender. There's some other pictures here that show the importance of such a day. That's September the 2nd, the day in which on board they will sign the surrender agreement with the Japanese officials on that very particular day. And go ahead, Stephen, show us again just the number of things that were taking place when all of this happened. And I'm illustrating it to you like this, and go on to the next one, Stephen. Let us see it. And we'll see that those people in those top hat looking things, those are the Japanese who are getting ready to come there and sign the treaty. And I think there's maybe one more picture there or so that we can show that they are signing it and making peace with them at the end of World War II. Now, I know that that doesn't really probably have any major consequence in your thinking for many of you. How many of you remember that day? You don't, huh? Well, you weren't there, right? But you studied it in history. And you know that it means a lot to the American people, at least it should. And I don't know if you recognize it or realize it, but I want to point out something. We'll make a point here again. That there's something happening this day that's really going to change. And that is, instead of being our enemy, Japan will become our ally. On this day of surrender marks the beginning of that. Now, you probably wouldn't know that we lost five of all of the eight battleships that we had at Pearl Harbor on the day that the harbor was attacked. 2,300 military personnel lost their lives on that day, and another couple of thousand were injured. They damaged over 325 of our aircraft. Most all of those did not make it back into service. Interestingly enough, though, of the 8 battleships, only 2 of them remain at the bottom of the ocean, and the others were actually put back into service. And the big mighty Mo, the big pride of the fleet, where they actually signed the deed, never fired a shot in the action, but they were part of our military might at all of that time. A surrender that brought about a major change in the world at that particular time, at the end of what we call a war. When did you surrender? I surrendered in 1957. That was about 62 years ago. Now, I'm going to tell you that initially in my surrender, I had really no real full concept of what would be ahead. I'm talking about the day that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I was buried in the waters of baptism at a young age, raised to walk in the newness of life, and it has been a journey figuring out what that surrender of my life was supposed to be about. And in fact, I'll tell you that it's a continuous battle or job to remember that that is what I am. I'm surrendered. I am surrendered to the Lord. When did you surrender? Have you surrendered? The dictionary says it means to give yourself up or to give something up. I'm going to ask you this morning as we study together from the Scripture, what have you given up? Have you given something up? Most importantly, have you given yourself up? Are you willing to be called part of the Master's fleet? I use that word sort of loosely. Are you part of His military might that brings about the surrender that should take place in your life? When I said to you earlier, you won't find this word in the Bible, that's true. You can run a concordance check on that word surrender, and you won't find it really being used out of our language. But I said to you that this concept is definitely found in the New Testament. Jesus Himself spoke of it. He said it like this in Matthew chapter 22. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart." A similar passage is Luke chapter 14. You can go home and study that one for yourself. But I think it says that if any person comes, any man come to me, and then the King James language uses this word hate, and hate not his father, his mother, his brother, his sister, he cannot be my disciple. You see, the idea of becoming a disciple and living for the Lord is surrendering my life. It's surrendering my desires. It's surrendering what I think and taking up the banner for following Jesus the Christ, the Lord, our God. He tells in Luke chapter 14 at the end of that those verses, I think, in verses 25 through 35, you want to study them. There's this idea of the salt, and he says something of this nature, that if the salt has lost its saltiness or its savor, what good is it? Now, is there anyone in this room that ever says, pass the salt? Now, there's probably some in here in this room that have been told, don't ever say that again. Your doctor probably said that. Leave the salt alone. But do you ever say, pass the salt? What are you looking for? Well, this is a little flat. It needs a little something. It needs a little salt. See, there's really nothing wrong with salt. God gave it to us for a purpose. Here, once again, it's one of those things that we might get in the habit of overusing, using too much. Or maybe we get into the health situation where we don't and shouldn't use a lot of that because of our bodies and what it might do to it. But you see, I'm talking about us. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about what we're doing in our community and what we're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. What we're trying to do by having a campaign that reaches out to people who don't know about Jesus Christ. And that's going to take some people who have surrendered themselves to the Lord to get that job done. I want you to notice here that there is a relationship change that comes on when that happens. You can back up to that other slide and I'll get it there, buddy. Yeah. I'll tell you that Paul mentions the concept just like, thank you, Steve, and I was going to forget that slide. Paul mentions the same concept that Christ does by saying, I am crucified with Christ. You all know this passage in Galatians 2, verse 20, right? I'm crucified with Christ, but nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that not the concept of surrender? Okay, let's get the next one, Stephen. It requires us to have a change in our relationships. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 19, there are some words here I want to read to you. This says that when this became known to the Jews and the Greeks, I'm reading now from Acts 19, living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held high in honor. Listen now. Many of those who believed now came, and they openly confessed their evil deeds. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together, and they burned them publicly. And when they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely or grew in power. Now, your newer versions will tell you that it was a piece of silver. 50,000 pieces of silver. And for you to kind of get a grasp of what these people brought or gave up, 1 day's work was equal to 1 piece of silver. So they brought 50,000 days of work. Now, the way they taught us to do math, Mark, back when we were in school, I think that'll come up to about 139 years. 50,000 days. That's a bunch of days, Don. That's a bunch of things being given up.
What have you given up? What are you exchanging for this marvelous, marvelous concept of surrender? In 2 Corinthians, Paul says, in chapter 5, this is a great chapter, by the way, he says down at verse 14, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Now listen. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we even once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And the old has passed away, or old has gone, and the new has come. He's changed. It's a relationship change. It's a change of how I think about all of the other things around me. As Paul says in this passage in 2 Corinthians, it's a new way or an avenue of looking and seeing. What do you see? When you look out here in the community, what do you see? Do you see lost people? You all remember that movie about that boy that said, "I see dead people." Huh? Do you see dead people? When you look in the community, do you recognize when you're looking at someone, they need to be saved? They need, as the Bible says, to be made alive. Alive in Jesus Christ. That's what drives us. That's what should drive us. Peter says it like this over in 1 Peter chapter 4. And over at verse 2, he sort of relates this to a different kind or a way of living. And he says to us, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. And as a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God." He's living for God's will. He's living with a new purpose. No wonder Jesus taught these things, these ideas. We know that he did. "Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." As you know that passage over Matthew 7, "but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." We have a relationship change that takes place. Christianity, being obedient to the Lord, doesn't take us out of the world. We're still subject to all of the things, the forces of nature, or the results of evil. All of the things that maybe we would like to be able to do away with. But you see, that makes it possible for us to surrender, meaning a relationship change with new eyes. And surrender is the means through which the flesh then is channeled into effective use, maybe proper usage. When I reflect back, and I'll just tell you that surrender took place in the year that I was born. In those 74 years, Japan has remained our ally. Now we have a strong relationship with a group of people who at one time attacked us in what was an unmerciful way. We battled with them. There was a surrender. And they obviously got the idea of what the surrender would take. And for all those years, we've managed to overcome the struggle that had existed before. Not all fleshly desires are wrong. When you read this passage that we just read, we're not trying to say that everything in the flesh is the wrong thing. The fleshly desires are made wrong when the relationship is wrong. Isn't that right? That's what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about changing your relationship from the worldly eyes to the eyes of God and seeking to do the will of God. You see, Christ is our Lord. Christ is the one to whom we look, whom we put in all of our trust to. If we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in our hearts that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with, is everybody watching, the heart man believeth. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's a change of mind. It's a change of concept. It's a change of our desires. It's a surrendering of my life. And I'm headed in the right direction when I'm headed toward God. Christ then becomes the Lord of my life. That's a full-time job. 168 hours in the week. Total. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind. That's the intellect, isn't it? All of your body, all of your soul, your spirituality. See then, this is the book of Colossians, chapter 3. You ought to love this chapter. That if you've been raised with Christ, that you have set your hearts on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things, you see, of God, not on earthly things. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then also you will appear with Him in glory. So then he makes a long list. You will put to death all of these different things. That's where we are. And therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, down here at verse 12, clothe yourself then with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, and bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Give as the Lord forgave you. You see, God even tells us how to go about doing it. This great relationship change, this idea of the putting off and the putting on concept. Isn't that what Paul tells us over in the book of Galatians? We're all called the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But for as many of you that have been baptized into Christ, what did you do? You put on Christ. And we're told by Paul again in the book of Romans that when we submit to His will, that the old person does what? Dies and is put away. And the new person is brought on. What a great concept of surrendering my life so that I might do the will of God. Surrender. Have you surrendered? Did you surrender? Have you pledged your allegiance to the Lord? First and foremost, is that where you live? Is that where you spend your time? I want to encourage you this very day. It is the greatest life to live here on this earth and in the world to come. If you haven't yet, I want to encourage you to surrender and give your life to Jesus Christ and allow Him to mold you, to shape you, and to help you to be what is the best you can ever be, and that's to be in Him. If you would you come while we stand together and sing?